It only takes, has a few seconds, as far as the will is concerned. How long does it take to make an act of the will? Split second. But that split second consent is binding, our faith tells us, until death. When I was ordained a priest, the ritual called for stepping forward to express my consent that I want to be ordained a priest. So, that one step did it. Canon 1058. All persons who are not prohibited by law can contract marriage. The verb can is carefully chosen. In other words, the Catholic Church sets down the conditions for valid marriage. Provided those conditions are fulfilled, the marriage is valid. Thus, for example, does a couple have to have the consent of their parents for a valid marriage? Oh. It is they who marry one another. The laws on marriage are extensive. Many canons in canon law, in volumes, in theology. What I plan to do in these two classes is cover the essentials, but I welcome questions from you. You might also sift the questions to make sure that we get the basics down clearly. I will then distribute the pages that I told you so you can read on your own and further, well, learn what the Catholic Church teaches on this most tested sacrament of the Catholic Church, the sacrament of marriage. What time do you have?
1:38.
Please?
1:38.
Now, you're going to take until 2:20. Could I put the watch, please? Canon 1059. Even if only one party is baptized, the marriage of Catholics is regulated not only by divine law, but also by canon law, with due regard for the competence of civil authority concerning the merely civil effects of such a marriage. What are we being told? We are being told that even if one party is baptized, which means the baptized party, though a Catholic, that marriage is regulated not only by divine law and the law of God, but also by canon law, of which this is an expression, with due regard for the competence of civil authority concerning the merely civil effects of such a marriage. This is a very important canon. If there is one thing which the Catholic Church believes, that she alone has a divine right to govern and regulate, it is marriage. And it does not really matter whether the other partner is not baptized. And therefore, at least, on paper, as we may say, would not be bound by the canon law, which applies to those who are Catholics. Yet the Catholic Church has rights over the marriage of every Catholic, even though the partner of a Catholic is not even baptized. Am I clear? This is one area. There are two principal areas over which the Catholic Church believes before God she has divine rights, which no earthly authority can interfere with. And they are the Church's rights over marriage and the Church's rights over education. And these two are the most widely and deeply and constantly challenged rights of the Catholic Church now for 1900 years. Marriage and education. And there is one thing over which the state has been exercising, and I mean the word tyrannical authority. It is over marriage and education. For example, in our country, civil laws determine who can witness a valid marriage. I remember once being asked to come to Covington, Kentucky, to witness the marriage of a couple whom I knew. I came in from out of state. I was arrested for the wedding mass. The pastor asked me, "By the way, do you have your license from the state to witness this marriage?" But I'm a Catholic priest. I know. But in Kentucky, even though you're a priest, you must get, for this marriage, a license from the state. Otherwise, the state does not consider that marriage valid. I had no choice. So I celebrated the wedding mass, but the pastor stood next to me to take the marriage vows. Anyone who questions that the United States is a totalitarian country does not know the conditions of our nation. I use my words advisedly. Consequently, as we read, even if only one party is baptized, the marriage of Catholics is regulated not only by divine law, but by canon law. But notice the careful language, with due regard for the competence of civil authority concerning the merely civil effects of such a marriage. Like what? Well, like ownership. Like the right, say, to property. But nothing having to do with the marriage itself, even though one of the partners in the marriage is not only not a Catholic, but not even baptized. Canon 1060. Marriage enjoys the favor of the law. Consequently, when a doubt exists, the validity of a marriage is to be upheld until the contrary is proven. I know a few canons of the church's law that are more practically important than this one. For example, was there a doubt whether full consent was given? Unless the doubt can be proved to the contrary, the marriage is valid. Consequently, how this needs to be said in a nation where marriage is notoriously unstable, people, years after marriage, go back 50, 20, 25, 30 years, and on the basis of the state of mind they allegedly had when they married, they then present to the marriage tribunal a request for annulment. I will not identify a large diocese, but some time ago I had dinner with the head of the marriage tribunal. I heard they had a bad reputation for the number of annulments they were getting. So at dinner I asked him, as casually as I could, I think I've told you when we had another class, we must all have a temper. That's human nature. What's the purpose of our temper? To use it, never lose it. There can be boiling inside, but you smile. So I asked him, Father, you must have some normal principle on the basis of which you give these wholesale annulments. Sure. Oh, will you tell me? Here's our basic norm. Everyone who applies for a declaration of nullity has a right to have their marriage annulled. That, I repeat, maybe the third time in this class, that's the end of the Catholic Church. If enough dioceses do that, but Cardinal Wright, my then Vatican superior, told me some years ago, barring the miracle that I hope will take place in the United States, I predict by the year 2000, more than one diocese in the United States will no longer be Catholic. It is impossible for me to use language strong enough, vocabulary clear enough, to affirm from the depths of my heart the Catholic Church is in the gravest crisis of our history in our country now. And in many ways, on the practical level, the heart of that crisis is the sacrament of indissoluble marriage. Anyone in his right mind knows to human beings. Cannot, and the verb is cannot, live together. I don't say for a weekend, or a month, or a year, but a lifetime. I don't mean just under the same roof, but in loving harmony without extraordinary grace from God. Well, that grace is available, but my friends, that grace had better be obtained. And we've got to use the means to obtain that grace. We go on. A valid marriage, Canon 1061, between baptized persons is called ratified only if it has not been consummated. Semicolon. It is called ratified and consummated if the parties have performed between themselves in a human manner the conjugal act which is per se suitable for the generation of children, comma, to which marriage is ordered by its very nature and by which the spouses become one flesh. Notice we are not here speaking of marriage which is natural. I think I should say something about natural marriage. The two terms, natural and sacramental, are correlatives. We might call sacramental marriage supernatural. It would be correct. But the vocabulary is not used. A natural marriage, therefore, is one between two non-baptized persons. It is therefore not, by definition, supernatural. It is therefore also, by definition, not sacramental. The Church, surely, in her canon law, does not directly concern herself with natural marriages, except insofar as one of the partners to a mixed marriage is not baptized. But, for the record, if either or neither is baptized, that marriage is not sacramental. And we repeat, if either or neither of the two marrying partners is or are not baptized, then neither receives the sacrament of matrimony. That is why in teaching priests, I caution them about being casual regarding mixed marriages. Why? Because the Catholic presumably has been validly baptized. The parson may say, I've been baptized too. How do you know? Well, having spoken about baptism, we've said something, remember? About some of the, very attractive, exotic forms of baptism. The sprinkling of a baby with rose petals is beautiful, but is not a baptism. So I warn priests to make sure that when you witness a mixed marriage, the other partner says he or she is a Protestant, make sure you humanly can that the baptism of that non-Catholic party was valid. Otherwise, there's no sacrament for either. We won't go over what we've seen on the sacrament of baptism, but remember, not all alleged or supposed Protestant baptisms are valid. And that is why, too, in receiving Protestants into the church, I don't just take their word for it, they've been baptized. And, with almost no exceptions, after I talk the way I'm talking to you, to them, see, baptize me, Father, baptize me, including an Episcopalian minister who thought he was validly ordained a priest, received into the church. So I asked him, when you were received into the church, did you receive conditional baptism? Well, no, because I've been baptized. How do you know? He wasn't that sure. I'll never forget. Tall, 6 foot plus, Episcopalian minister. You know, he was already a Catholic. Look, I'm just telling you the facts. You make the choice. Father, I tell you, give me conditional baptism. Otherwise, I repeat, in marriage, neither receives the sacrament of matrimony. That is quite important. A natural marriage is therefore one in which, I repeat, either neither party or at least one of the two had not been validly baptized before marriage, of course. That kind of marriage, a natural marriage, then comes under the Pauline privilege. Remember? Already in the apostolic age, where two, say, pagans had married. One wants to become a Christian. If the pagan party is willing to live peaceably with a now Christian party, fine. They should remain together. Otherwise, the Christian party may enter into a sacramental marriage. And then the sacramental marriage dissolves the natural bond. I thought I should say this in order to put it against the backdrop of Canon 1061. Note the language. We then have three kinds of marriage. We have natural, we have ratified, and we have consummated. A ratified marriage, that's the language of the church, is one in which two baptized persons enter a valid contract. However, if the marriage, though ratified, meaning sacramental, has not been consummated, can that ratified, non-consummated marriage be dissolved? Yes. By whom? By the Bishop of Rome. But it better be non-consummated. Did I tell you the story about the organist? The organist was getting married. Did you hear the story? She was a woman, pardon me. told her pastor months before he knew that she was going to marry her. Father, will you please get somebody to replace me as an organist here in the parish? He said he would, but he didn't. And the husband, whether he didn't like music or whatever, he did not want his wife to play the organist in church. Well, she was marrying the man, so that was it. She agreed. The pastor never got an organist. She did not have an organist for her wedding. And she felt very bad. And as they were leaving the altar after the wedding ceremony, and they were in the vestibule, the doors were open, there she could see across the street a funeral cortege. There was to be a funeral right after the wedding. The pastor had asked her the night before, could she possibly play the organ at the funeral following her wedding? She said, yes, but I have to consult with my fiancé. He said, absolutely no. Are you crazy? No. Well, she saw the hearse, saw the black cars. What is this of the bride? Train.
Train.
She picked it up and ran up the organ loft to play for the funeral. So that funeral, they had music. After the funeral, she came down. Everybody was gone. The rice was still on the floor of the vestibule. No bridesmaids, no husband. She went to the rectory to call up the husband. He said, I told you, absolutely no organ playing after we're married. You said you agreed. Then on our wedding day, you go up and play at this funeral mass. Forget it. But after she stopped crying, she asked the pastor, what do I do? Well, seems to me you should fill out the papers to make a request to the Holy See for a dissolution of your ratified but not consummated marriage. And she got the declaration from Rome. But notice, the intercourse must be, look at the language, perform between themselves in a human manner. And that intercourse is per se, by its nature, suitable for the generation of children. Consequently, contraceptive intercourse for 20 years after marriage, that marriage is still not consummated. So far, accept a few comments. my plan then for next VP, as you see, we've just opened the door. We haven't even looked inside. The church has a library of teaching on marriage. What I would welcome from you, if you wouldn't mind, this would be your homework. I believe our next class is on the 26th of April. In the meantime, best of all, I wish all of you a happy Easter. And by the 26th of April, and I mean this, and spend some time, if you don't mind, at exactly 3 weeks, put down whatever questions or problems that either you have in your mind, that others have, and share them with me. Clearly, we'll not cover all that you've submitted on the 26th of April. However, in teaching theology, the most important thing that I look for is what do the people whom I teach need. If it is God's will, and it is also your will and the will of others, we should have classes next fall. And may do something about the classes to structure them either more regularly, even, maybe, if you wish, more frequently. We need, how desperately we need to know our faith, not just for ourselves, for you young parents, for your children, and for others. In fact, even you older parents, for your children, some of whom I fear me already, by now, have given up the practice of their faith. Am I clear? That then is your homework. And on the subject of marriage, the more you can provide me with and have it come from your own minds, I mean, talk things over with others, and make it as detailed and, if you wish, as extensive as you wish for my own future need. I have taught the sacrament of marriage over the years, but I always want to make sure I know whom I'm speaking to and what questions or problems I should address myself to. Is that clear? One more request. I don't want to call this an assignment, but I believe our last class after April the 26th is on May the 17th. But through some error, I think it was on the part of Gonzaga University in Spokane, I have to speak in Spokane on May the 16th. But I got a call and they told me, no, we want you here on the 16th and 17th. I already told Father Downey, I will be here on May the 17th for our last class, which will be on the priesthood for this course. But pray that the university, they told me they couldn't do it. Allow me to give the other lecture that I was to give on the 17th, to give it on the 16th, because if I don't go on the 17th, I don't think in conscience I should go on the 16th. Could you say a prayer? And my clock says 2:10, which I think is the assigned time for finishing this class. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.